Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Appleton, Wisconsin, this is Technorama show number 75. Welcome to Technorama! Tonight before bed, make sure you give your kids some Technorama. It's safe and fun. This is show number 75 for Saturday, July 14th, 2006. I'm recording live from Buffalo Wild Wings, and Craig is recording at his house. How are you doing, Craig?
I'm okay. Can you send over some of those wings?
Yeah, they're really... I've got some old cheesy potatoes that are getting congealed and solid over here.
Pass that ketchup over, please.
Pass
it, not eat it.
We'll send some to you through the Wi-Fi connection.
Thank you.
As you can hear from all the background music, there's lots of people and nobody's paying any of us attention. We have an audience of two. We've got Bob and my daughter Lisa. Say hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Got to start somewhere. That's all right. This time and planning, and we got the best audience there is. Right?
Yeah.
Lisa just did a freestyle with me, so she's warmed up.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I did one of those.
All right, we'll be right back. Coming up in tonight's show, today's show? We usually do this at night, don't we?
This afternoon. Hey, it's 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Do you know where your Technorama's at?
It's anytime, anywhere in the world. You don't know when someone's going to be listening to this.
No, I don't.
Well, coming up in this particular show, we've got web links galore. We've got the last, final, and fourth installment of our Steve Wozniak interview and information on our free giveaway stuff. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes?
I'm not even sure anybody will listen to this.
It's an experiment. Deal with it.
Yeah.
On this day in tech history, for January 14th, 2005. This is January 14th, it's the 14th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 351 days remaining. It is celebrated as the New Year's Day by those still following the Julian calendar. Time to get a calendar upgrade. It was on this date in 1690 that the clarinet is invented in Nuremberg, Germany. And on this date in 1952, the Today Show premieres on NBC. The Hudson Motor Car Company merges with the Nash Kelvinator Company, forming American Motors Corporation on this date in 1954. The Russian rocket scientist Sergei Korolev passes away on this date in 1966. On this date in 1972, Sanford and Son premieres on NBC. And in 1998, researchers in Dallas, Texas present findings about an enzyme that slows aging and cell death. The Dow Jones Industrial Average reached a record high on this date of 11,722.98 on this date in 2000. And in 2004, Goatsy.cx is suspended by the Christmas Island Technology Corporation following a massive grassroots movement to close the site forever. And on this date in 2005, the landing of the Huygens probe on Saturn's moon Titan. And there are no famous birthdays in science or tech today that I could find, so I'll wish my brother Richard a happy birthday. He had a strong influence on my life ending up where it is. Happy birthday, Rico. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for January 14th, 2006.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Patrick Morton from DLTV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Well, Craig, we're going to have a little problem with this next segment. It's called Questions from the Audience.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Before you go farther.
Yes?
Hey, Harrison, say happy birthday, Richard.
Happy birthday.
Say happy birthday, Richard.
Happy birthday, Richard.
Maybe he'll have an easier time saying Rico.
Oh, say Rico.
Rico.
There you go.
Hola.
He's my older brother. Lisa, do you have any questions from the audience?
No.
They're lining up at the door.
To get out? I don't know what the crap this is. I'm out of here.
Well, we got more people than Twit. It's just nobody's paying attention to us. All right, then we will move along. We have 12 signs you're taking this all too seriously. This is all about the...
Web 2.0, the internet.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm not going to go through all 12 of these, but I will have a link in the show notes. These are pretty funny. Number 12, you blew off your daughter's science fair because her report didn't get a single dig. We can sympathize with that one. Yes. You no longer speak to your coworkers, but instead refer them to your comments feed.
How convenient.
These are funny.
And they go, hey, Chuck, I want to... And you just hand them a card with a link to it.
All right, you're going to have to help me on this one. Number five, you replaced your posters of Lindsay Lohan and Hilary Duff with 5-megapixel glossies of Jeremy Zawadny and Matt Cutts from PubCon X.
Who was that?
I don't know. Somebody thinks it's funny.
Okay.
You know exactly where you stand on the Adam Curry / Wikipedia fiasco.
Yes, I do know. I mean, I am taking this
Daddy. Seriously.
Yes, sweetheart.
I have
She's
a
trying to tell you that she...
I have a question from the audience.
You do? What is your question from the audience?
How old is Uncle Rico now?
Uncle Rico is 4 years older than me. How's that?
How old are you?
Ancient. Hey, Lisa, you take dirt and multiply by 2, and that's how old your dad is.
How old is dirt? I'm twice as old as dirt. Thanks.
Look at the trees, Lisa. No, I'm good.
Thanks, Craig. On the last show, he called me a hack.
Man.
All right, here's my favorite. In less than 60 seconds and with condescension in your voice, you can describe at least 3 ways that true podcasting differs from mere audio file recording, distribution, and playback. Bob got me on this one earlier in the week.
Oh, really? It must be noted that Chuck proceeded to tell us the 3 differences with complete condescension.
I didn't get to 3, I just said 1, but yes, the condescending voice was there.
Okay, but before we go into that, let's move right along.
Google Mobile.
Yes. Actually, you know, just this last week, I noticed that I saw some links, and they were talking about Google Mobile. And you know the personalized page that Google has?
Yes.
It is now designed where I can log into my personalized page on my handheld device, like my Pocket PC, or even a lot like the mobile phone. A lot of mobile phones have browsers. Can view these pages and have all your weather and all that stuff that you have on that personalized page show up and look good on your mobile device, which is perfect. It makes my Internet Explorer on my Pocket PC actually worth something now.
It wasn't worth anything before?
No, it formats pages like crap, but these mobile pages are stripped down. Now, to go along with this, they also have, well, of course, they've had Gmail formatted for Pocket PCs for quite a while. I've been using that, which works really well. But they also have a way for you to format any page for a mobile device. And there's a link right here, but I like, for example, on my personalized page that I was just talking about, the mobile version, I have Dig on there as one of the RSS feeds. Well, I saw something that was interesting while I was looking at it. I clicked on the link, and the link it took me to at Dig was also formatted. And I was like, oh, this is cool. So it's like a proxy server where it formats the page for me and delivers it, but it's through Google, you know, and Google gets the page and formats it for me, which is this next link that make anything mobile through Google. And then this link, you can just put in an address in there and it'll look right.
Really?
Yeah, pictures. You can even tell it to strip images and it'll look nice.
Very handy.
Yeah, so they're really getting into the mobile market because, you know, this last week at the other week when at CES, they were talking about Motorola, I think, and all those other mobile phone companies are starting to include it, and BlackBerry. You know, those the RIM guys, they're going to have there's some Google apps, like I think Google Talk. You could do VoIP with the Google Talk off the BlackBerry, and
do BlackBerries have a mic?
Search.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't know that.
Phones, man. They're like cell phones. Huh. So, yeah, they got a mic on there. So, yeah.
Now, I know you can text message yourself a Gmail invite.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get Gmail on your cell phone. But I believe it's MS Mobile only at this point.
Yeah, but they are starting to... I think on the Motorola devices, they were talking about Google's going to be the default search. And on the BlackBerries, they're doing the search. Plus, they're doing GTalk, which I thought was cool because BlackBerry, man, the mobile charges, if you don't have like a, I don't know what the charges are on the service, but it's expensive to have cell phone service through that thing.
Bob's holding me up a new headline from yesterday, BlackBerry to offer free Mac support.
Free Mac support?
Yep. They're going to support the Mac finally. Yay!
What, like with Bluetooth or something?
Full synchronization deck. Address book, iCal, contacts.
Full synchronization to address book, iCal, and contacts.
Sweetness.
Yay.
Cool.
All you need is the palm conduit. No.
Yeah.
Was it missing link?
All right, and the next in the strange category, you've got the Lego harpsichord.
Yes, this thing has like 10,000. Let's see, how many bricks does it have? It's 325 pounds. It's 6 by 3 feet, and it plays. I mean, it's a harpsichord that they made out of Legos.
Let me roll a clip of that real quick.
Okay.
You can hear all the levers going.
Oh man, yeah, it's I think they call them jacks, don't they? Or somewhere. It's horrible.
And when you pick it up, a leg falls off, right? The way the bricks don't really interlock.
Hey, I'll tell you what. It sounds like crap, but it plays.
Somebody could do it, so they did. That's what we like at Technorama. If it can be done, they probably will do it.
Oh, here you go.
Say that again, Lisa. Yeah.
It sounded dead.
It sounded dead?
Yeah. Well, let's see. With a 16, it's got a 61 note range. It's 6 by 3 feet, weighing approximately 150 pounds. I'm sorry. With built with about 100,000 Lego pieces, the strings exert probably 325 pounds of tension. That's what I was looking at. So it's pretty interesting. I'm surprised it holds up that well.
Yikes! Good stuff. I'm glad you found that one.
Yeah, I'll go looking for some more.
All right. Well, you're looking. We'll play the next installment and final installment of our interview with the Woz.
The Woz.
And then we'll be back to talk about more of our contest stuff right after this.
What's up?
If you could go to full-time engineering today, what kind of projects would you, what's your dream project? What would you like to work on now?
It's very difficult. I would probably still go back to right where I always was good at, down to the hardware, hooking up a few chips, processors, and, you know, modern types of RAM, flash RAM, things that didn't exist then maybe, and getting a processor with exactly the right components, you know, necessary parts in that processor chip, but no more, so to save the cost. And sit down and write complicated assembly language programming for it, and develop a system from the bottom up, and really not follow the standard approaches of you buy an off-the-shelf, you know, processor board, that's complete, and then you buy an operating system, and then you program, you know, your apps on top of it. And no, I go right back down to the hardware programming level. I don't, and build little devices. A few years ago, I actually built a Segway key reprogrammer. It'll program your Segway for other speeds, and that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was really just the same sort of thing I loved doing with the Apple II, so I still love that same type of engineering. It doesn't have as big a place in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then again, the sort of engineering I did then, it was like I put my entire person into it so intently, and you run out of energy, and you know you can only put that much energy in when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to deal with concepts and thoughts and analyze, you know, markets and technologies and products that are there and what you're really saving people and how you're going to make things that are truly essential. And there's a lot more aspects to, you know, company now. So I'd probably still have more of a management role at anything in the future and not too much of the actual engineering. Engineering takes time, and I don't have much time.
What advice do you have for kids interested in math, science, technology, and engineering?
Well, I think they've got it made. They have a world to explore. Get into the first the Lego League robots in middle school. Get in to buy the Vex robot kit from Radio Shack. You know, you can find so many guides and kits to buying little boards that you can actually start programming mm-hmm. to do certain things. Get into FIRST Robotics when you're in high school,
mm-hmm.
and always remember that. You know, try to, you know, come up, think about it. You know, try to be the best you can at math. You know, do one of the things you can do is in your homework, they assign the odd problems, do the even ones too. Just have a year, maybe only a period in your life. Go crazy and just decide to be a little bit extra more than the other students, and that's what really takes you to excellence. Everything you do in life really, to be excellent, depends on math. And it depends on science, too. But, you know, if you have a good understanding of it, you can do a better job than the rest of the world, and that's where you make money. Also, if you're very good at, oddly enough, math, any some sort of electronics, good God knows you might be lucky enough to be able to get the tools from somebody that you can actually lay out some PC boards and get them made on your own while you're very young and in high school. I mean, you'll have a job for life. You won't have to worry about where am I going to get a job? Where how am I going to work? You aren't going to, you know, I graduated in psychology. Now what do I do with my degree?
I'm having visions of where my eldest daughter, who's now 12, is going to be because she's very sharp and all that stuff. In 15 minutes, when she was 7 years old, I taught her Boolean algebra and how to count in binary, and she had it down in 15 minutes before she even started school that day. We were waiting in the car. And it just blew me away that she's that sharp. So,
well, that's what surprised me. I was in fifth grade, and I ran into a couple of computer journals that my father's an engineer got, IEEE magazines. God, they had articles on the Boolean algebra and some logic diagrams. And I said, my God, this stuff is so great, and you don't need high-level math. You don't need to have gone through high school and, you know, math and calculus and mm-hmm. all that. Anyone can do it. Any fifth grader can. So that became just the love of my life, just as a side project.
Well, it's been a wild ride the past 20, 30 years for you. Where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 20 years?
Yikes. I do have a new company startup coming that I'm going to devote a lot of time into, but I think in the time frame you gave, I just see myself sitting by a lake, you know, playing Tetris or fishing, or playing Tetris is fishing, something like that.
Yeah.
Watching TV, you know, taking and having a nice, easy life with a few friends around and the internet. I like peace. I grew up in Santa Clara Valley when it was a very peaceful place, and now it's just totally full and packed and moving fast, and everybody's looking for the next thing to do, and everybody's very yeah. greedy and talking money everywhere you go. And no, I just want to get back to where I grew up.
We have a quiz at the end of this show. If the following people were electronic devices, cell phone, PDA, computer, that sort of thing, what would they be? Our list starts out with Captain Crunch.
I guess he'd be a telephone. But Captain Crunch, I think he'd be, let's see, what's, I think he'd be a router.
A router.
Yeah.
How about Leo Laporte?
Leo Laporte would be television. You know, the best source of knowledge and instruction and teaching and help and guidance there is.
I was trying to visualize, would he be, you know, the old RCA from the 50s, or would it be a new modern flat panel?
A mix.
Modern, yeah, I'd say a modern flat panel.
All right, what kind
of... It's hard to say, because you're talking about his personality. Yeah, he'd be... Okay, yeah, right.
Yes, this is all about personality.
Yeah, he'd be the older set. But used today, but still works today.
What kind of device would Steve Jobs be?
Yikes.
iPod.
Yikes.
We've stumped him.
Gosh darn it. Probably an alarm system.
An alarm system? Why is that?
I don't know. A little bit somewhat unpredictable, but... No, it's in control of you.
The gloves are coming off.
I don't know because, yeah, I'm thinking his... gosh darn it. You know, it's hard to put people to devices, you know, if you don't have time to think it out. Yeah. So maybe he'd be the computer, the most essential and well-done device of our times. I think of a computer as being more well-done than a car.
Would you like to take our fourth and final entry, Bill Gates?
Oh, no.
No?
I don't know. Oh, gosh. I don't even use Microsoft. I don't have a feeling for Bill. I would think of him as being very much, very smart. He actually did some technical work just a little before Microsoft and some after, kept on doing some. He's very smart technically, and... Although he was an opportunist with Microsoft, Bill looking to buy something and sell it for more, but pretty smart about knowing where the whole industry's going and where it's at, and I also think of him as he usually speaks honestly out of his own head and not full of a lot of disguising, trickery, deceitful words that make you think he's saying one thing where he's really hiding the truth that could have been in those words.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have a good opinion of Bill, but I don't know what electronic device I'd even call good.
The circle gets the square.
Sure. a coffee maker. He works, as predicted.
Coffee maker. I like that.
There you go.
I like that. Well, Steve, it's been terrific. I thank you very much for your time.
Yes, thank you very much, Steve.
And we wish you all the best.
Good luck with your podcasts and all that. Okay, thanks and bye.
Alrighty. All right, bye
thank
now.
You.
TechChat.com. Ramblings of a Technophile.
All right, as I mentioned earlier, we've got several things to give away coming up in shows. Craig and I still have to work out the details of how we're going to do the contest on all this. Maybe just make a...
I'm thinking what was that movie, or the show, MTV's Jackass? Maybe we can make them do stuff.
No.
Send videos. No, we'll work on that.
We've got a lot of Griffin stuff, FM receivers, FM transmitters, and docks, and accessories, and all kinds of stuff. And we are looking to give it away. We're doing some product evaluations, make sure that it actually works, make sure that it works well, and we will tell you how well it works. So far, I've used the FM receiver and remote, so you can put your iPod in a pocket down deep in your jacket and then control it from the collar of your jacket. Yeah, these are great when you're...
First impression, what is it?
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Right. Works really well.
Well, that's the whole technical interview. Or the review.
I also tried out the Griffin Road Trip, which is a car. It fits in the cigarette lighter of your charger, and it's got a cradle on it, and the FM transmitter is very good. The FM transmitter is also undockable, and you can plug in a couple of jacks and draw power from your USB and turn your laptop into an FM transmitter the same way. So you can run the music on your laptop through FM to, say, a home stereo or a boombox, which is kind of neat. Lisa's waving her hand like she's got a question or has to go to the bathroom. What is it?
Are you going to keep some of the stuff?
Don't know. Should we keep some of the stuff?
Yeah.
All right, that means the listener has to get in a contest for, like, a cable.
And which iPod do you have, Lisa?
I have the big, fat, old one.
She's got the 10 gig first gen.
Oh, the memories.
It's amazing how big that thing seems now, isn't it?
I'm sure.
And we don't even have a Nano to compare it to. That'd be tiny. All right, you found... Oh, we've got one more segment to go into. So, we will have more details about that giveaway. We got a little sidetracked on that. More details on the contest, how you can enter. Just keep listening, and in the future weeks, we'll have, like, one thing a week, because we're going to have to collect email entries and whatnot. So, keep listening, and we'll have stuff for you. We also have a whole bunch of other interviews lined up. We haven't recorded them yet, but we are in the process of scheduling all kinds of interesting people and things and places. And
hey, I'm curious to see how everybody liked doing the us throwing the Kevin Rose interview out there as one big.
That was easier on me.
Well, yeah, I wanted to see what everybody thought about that, if that worked for them. Seemed like first feedback, everybody seemed to like it like that.
Yes, went over very well from what I heard. But we're interested in hearing from you. If you want to drop us an email, chuck@chuckchat.com or Craig, K-R-E-G, @chuckchat.com. Shall we move into our next segment on how to destroy the Earth?
Yes.
These guys are getting... the announcer's getting a little more maniacal.
What the Chuck? What's up with that?
Welcome to our continuing series on How to Destroy the Earth. This time, number 5, Sucked into a Giant Black Hole. What you will need this time is a black hole, extremely powerful rocket engines, and optionally, a large, rocky, planetary body. The nearest black hole to our planet is 1,600 light-years from Earth in a direction roughly of Sagittarius, orbiting V4641. What you'll need to do is, after locating your black hole, you need to get it and the Earth together. This is likely to be the most time-consuming part of this plan. There are two methods, moving the Earth or moving a black hole, though for best results, you'd most likely move both at once. It's very difficult, but definitely possible. The Earth's final resting place after all of this is part of the mass of the black hole, of course. The earliest feasible completion date... I don't expect the necessary technology to be available until about 3000 AD, and at least 800 years for travel time. That's in an external observer's frame of reference, and assuming you move both the Earth and the black hole at the same time. Well, there you go! Get the Earth sucked into a black hole!
Up next, I hope you'll enjoy a skit by Pedro Sanchez.
When I came home from school, my head started to get really hot, so I drank some cold water, but it didn't do nothing. So I laid in the bathtub for a while, and I listened to Technorama, and I didn't feel so hot no more. Thanks, Chuck and Craig, for saving me from shaving my hair off again. To pay you back, I'm going to build you a cake.
Craig, you told me Harrison's there, and he's got a question.
Yeah, let me give him the headphones and everything, okay?
Okay.
All right, here you go.
How many moons are there?
How many
moons? 10! How many planets are there?
How many planets are there? How, Lisa, do you want to answer this one?
Yeah. 9.
9, although a new one was just discovered.
What did they call it?
10.
What did they call it? Yeah, there's 10 now. Good job, Harrison. Keep listening to Technorama.
All right, Harrison, go play. I'll be with you in a minute.
Plug the show at the playground.
Yeah.
All right, our crazy quote of the week. I don't know if this is of the week. You know when you read Gmail, there's a little headline at the top right above the column headings? Well, the one that came up this...
The web clips.
Yeah. Yesterday, I came up with an interesting quote from Bob Dole. The internet is a great way to get on the net. Yes, Lisa.
You still didn't tell me what they named the 10th planet.
I can't remember. It's got some Xena or...
Yeah, it was like...
Shayla or something. I thought it was like a girl's name. Shame on me for not knowing.
It was, what's her name's, 10th?
Here come the listener voicemails. What is it? No, Bob's telling me it's Kuiper, but that's the name of the belt way in the heck out past Pluto where a lot of the comets and things come from.
It's been given the name Sedna.
Sedna, that's what it is.
Astronomer's
wife's name. Hey.
Give me some of that.
Google.
Yep.
Hey, he may have a beer in his hand, but I got Google at my fingertips.
Bob doesn't have a beer in his hand.
No. What's his problem?
Give me some of that good geek library loving.
All right, I got several links in here from today. The first one is a Flickr clock. It's actually called Clocker, with no E, of course. And it picks up pictures of Flickr that have numbers. And it has a clock, and it sits there and ticks away. It's kind of neat. Yeah, you have to go check.
This is kind of like that one where it was drawn in pencil, and they were just kept... You know, you see the hand come up and erase the letter or the number and put it... Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Look like notepaper?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But it's cool. It pulls out pictures from everywhere, and it's got the numbers on there. So I thought that was pretty cool. The next thing on the list is the first web server. Over in Wikipedia, they have an article, or actually this is just a picture, but it's a picture from, I think, Tim Berners-Lee article in Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of his Next Cube unit that he actually wrote the web server on.
Was he at NCSA?
NCSA?
Yeah. National Center for Supercomputer...
I don't know about that one.
University of Urbana, Illinois, Champaign. University of Illinois, Urbana, Champaign. At UIUC. Anyway, okay. I'm going to take a look at that when we're done.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's actually at the museum at CERN right now.
Oh, it is at CERN. That was my next question.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, it's at CERN. It's like they got a museum there, a museum area, and this is like sitting there with a book open in front of it like he just got up from working on it.
In Switzerland.
Yeah. So anyway, the next link in the list is how to disable reboot after a Windows automatic update, which, you know, this week, Microsoft, I don't care what anybody says, it's just... They pushed out a patch,
mm-hmm.
that WMF patch.
Yeah.
I think without people asking for it, because I do not have automatic updates on my computer. However, it got updated.
Well, ours was pushed out in a corporate environment, so we didn't have a choice.
I'm talking about my machine at home. And then my wife's laptop, I noticed it was like complaining about, hey, you need to reboot. Hey, you need to reboot. I was like, okay. And then, you know, at any rate. But there's some steps how to disable automatic reboots after an update. That way you don't complain. You know, you get that nagging window to do so, which I can't stand. That's like at work.
But how are you going to remember? You're going to forget to reboot until it actually crashes. So you'll reboot what, about once every other day anyway?
Actually, right. To be honest with you, my machine stays all the time. But you know what? You know what I hate is when I'm working. And about 20 minutes after I've been working, it goes, your updates have been installed. It's time to we need to reboot. And it says, yes or cancel. And cancel's grayed out. This is at work.
Huh.
There's no option. Except for to drag the window off to the side and keep working. Anyway.
And next you got?
The Science of Superman. Man.
it's this guy talks about the fit, kind of like the fit. Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Is this what I think it is?
All right, there. Now, the science of Superman. How do you make a man fly?
I wanted to hear that whole thing.
That was the one that Phil Clark sent us. We can't play the whole thing right now.
here's the one thing. You can read the whole article. I'm not going to ruin the whole thing. But like he was talking about that you've seen Superman come up several times and pick up a car from the roof as it's driving down the road and pick it up.
Yeah.
Well, he said no car would stand the weight if it's somebody picking it up by the roof like that and it'd just fall apart.
Right.
He seemed to think. Anyways, things like that. He talks about can people fly? What about gravity? You know, that good stuff. So it's pretty interesting to read.
So is it like the trailer in the first movie? You will believe a man can fly. After reading this Wikipedia article. No, it's not Wikipedia.
It's not Wikipedia.
Now we're going to close out real quick with a quick Geek Thoughts.
Geek Thoughts.
When doing IT work, whatever happens, behave as though you meant it to happen.
Exchange server crashed. I meant to do that.
What happens in the server room stays in the server room.
Server room of horrors, perhaps.
Yeah. What was that? I used to tell a guy, he's like, wow, I don't know, I've never done that before. I was sending him out on a service call.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, when you get there, just smile and act like you do.
You're faking. Do-do-do-do-do. What end of the keyboard do I use?
When you don't have confidence, just fake it.
Hey, that's how I go on dates.
Oh, you still... Really? Have you told your wife?
Well, that's how I used to go on dates. Yeah, that's it.
Oh. Hey, honey, guess what? All right, well, listen, let's wrap this up so these guys can eat chicken wings. You can call us at our listener line. It's 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. You can send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can email Craig at me at kreg@chuckchat.com. And visit the website for our chat room, forums, swag, webcam, all that good stuff.
I want to give a special thank you to Jennifer and all the staff at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Appleton. And Lisa and Bob for coming out. Well, Lisa didn't have a choice. And Lisa's got a closing comment.
Audience.
Well, you are the audience.
Besides us.
That means you get to say at the very end the binary high five. Ready? Big binary high five?
1-0-1.
That's why I brought her. Take care. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time. Bye.
Hey, man, can you pass the salt over there?